listeners, and welcome to the Roarcast. My name is James Rice, here to take you through the Odyssey that is supporting the Brisbane Roar Football Club. And we've got an Odyssey for you this week. It's ups and downs and all arounds. Let me just introduce my fellow commentary partner today. It's just the one of us. Just a bit of a duo show for Mr. Dave Stewart. How are you?
G'day, mate. I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, you know, it's had a COVID scare that seemed to be through that. So, you know, just... yeah, just taking life easy.
But I'm glad you're safe, mate. That's all that matters.
That's it.
COVID be damned, and fuck that thing. I'm just glad you're well.
Exactly. And the person that I was in contact with apparently is doing fine as well. So, which is good.
That is good. That's important too.
Now,
we better be quick though, man, because we've got like, I don't know, all of 17 goals to analyse and identify. It's important, mate. 17 goals we've got to look into and dissect and make sure we discuss properly every single one of them. So we better hurry up into this one.
I was going to ask, how did you want to do this? Do you want to do it like a shit sandwich? You know, a bit of bad, good, bad, or do you just want to get the good stuff out of the way and we get into the bad? Or
do you want to make it a good, bad, ugly?
Good, bad, ugly.
I think we start with the men's. Good, then the bad, then the ugly.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm on board. Well done.
Let's do that.
I was trying to work out an order that would do that. You've done well. All right, let's start with the good then. And the good was a Sunday evening in the A-League men's. It was Brisbane Roar 3 and Nikola Milajusnic. All right, Daniel Georgeski, Milajusnic, mate. It's not that hard.
Well done, mate. I'm proud of you.
You, snitch. Well, yeah, I know. How I remember it.
Georgeski struggled with that today.
He really did. Corey Brownie with an absolute thunder bastard in the 60th minute. And Henry Hoare on the board, because if your whore is Henry, it's good. And if it's Peter Hoare, it's bad. In the 78th minute, MacArthur did pull one back in the 74th. Adrian Mariappa. Scored there, 4,961 in attendance at that newspaper stadium, and we all got rub wet as well, because the way the rain was going, even though it was undercover in the stand, they were pretty much getting wet as well. Bookings to the Admiral, Akbari in the 13th minute, Jovanovic in the 40th, and Meredith in the 86th, and Sushna in the 88th. Dave, this one started really well.
Well, can I just come back to your absolute butchering of that incredible meme that the Brisbane Roar put up? the whole Simpsons meme of such and such is one thing, such and such is another thing. Henry Hoare equals good, Peter Hoare equals bad. Okay. I hope our listeners know who Peter Hoare is, because it brings out some dark memories from years gone by in Australian football. But it is a fucking incredibly good meme that they put up there. I'm 100% on board.
Way underappreciated.
It got some appreciation outside of just the regular Brisbane Roar, you know, kind of crowd that interacts with that. It should have been loved and adored by more. It was incredible.
It's a bit of an old reference now. I think that's the only,
Anyone under the age of 30 would not have understood it. I'm glad I'm over the age of 30 that I could understand that one, because it is classic. Or anyone that knows anything about Australia versus Iran in 97. We'll know what that's about. Anyway, let's get back to the football, hey?
We've got how many goals to analyse, and we've just spent 2 minutes analysing the meme at the club point.
Analysing a meme. How else do you want to summarise this show? We spent 2 minutes analysing a meme and then a minute kind of laughing about it. You're right, though. We started off well. So well, in fact, that because my stream shut down right before kickoff, I missed the first goal. Nikola Milajusnic, 63 seconds, I think, officially. Lovely passing move, just to kind of move the ball between some parking and traffic cones along the right side of the pitch for MacArthur. And Milius is just in form. He's been doing well. And he's tucked it away for his fourth or fifth now. Done well.
He's third in the Golden Boot for the league, if you can believe
He's doing well. I'm sitting here thinking we need more options in attack, but he's carrying it on his bloody back at the moment. Incidentally, just while we're chatting as well, Vitry have just equalised against Sydney, so suck shit, Sydney. It's going to cost me a tipping point, but it's worth it. really good form by Milajusnic, but I thought the passing and the movement was excellent for that. And that's exactly how you want to start a game. Basically, tear the other team apart, put them on the back foot, go 1-0 up. I think we're seeing a little bit, and we'll get onto the next game, obviously, after this one, but I think we're seeing a bit of that in that game as well. I think the passing and movement's all right. this time we had a finish, which was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it was a good quality finish, and just the way you want to start. And by the time you're pretty much settled and you decided to watch the game, you're like, holy crap, the ball's in the back of the net, and away we were, and a bunch of people were standing with us, weren't even in their seats yet. So the late crowd, they missed a really good red hot start, and that's it. And we sort of generally, I think Brisbane sort of dominated as well. That most of the first half, generally felt like I was obviously in the den end as I usually am, and it was all up the pokies end, and yeah, it just didn't really feel like it really came near us. So it was Macapa were very under par, and we had another one or two good chances sort of blast over the bar. I think Lascano tried to hit the it into the pokies room, but no J O'Shea is he. He fell a bit short.
He tried to get into the pokies room. He actually tried to get into the pokies room, but got the Margate hot bread pies instead.
Oh, exactly.
That's the Lascano shooting range for him at the moment.
Exactly.
He tried to miss and he missed somewhere else. no, but you're right. The game, it was the sort of half where it felt like we should be two or three up here. Like, we should be clear ahead, and it's great that we're ahead, but it's like, oh, what if we, had just been that little bit better? And the way we're season's going, we should be happy when we go in with any lead, to be honest. 1, 2, or 10, it doesn't matter. We should be happy with any lead. But it did have that feel like we were just, MacArthur were just not there. They weren't at the races, and we were just a far better side, so we should have been able to kind of put them to the sword a little bit earlier. As it was, we ended up doing that anyway. But it was a good first half. It's probably one of the better first halves we've played throughout the season.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's probably not too many where we generally put it all together like that, which is nice. And we did sort of cap it off in the end. So Corey Brown, absolutely thunderbusted from outside the box, just laced it in beautifully in the driving rain. I think at that stage as well. I think that's when the rain was belting down. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he struck it well, didn't he? You probably had the better view of it from behind the goal. I was watching on TV, but
yeah, no, it is one of those ones where sometimes when you're just in the right part of the den, and you get just right behind it, and I think it was a little bit to the side from where we were, but just absolutely nailed it, and just straight date bullet, just stayed hit. I think is the term, isn't it? Hit and stayed hit.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
That's what you want from your fullbacks. Not blasting it into the pokey room. You want them belting it sort of low and hard.
That's it. Lazo, he just scored many. I think they said that was his third ever goal. He didn't actually hit it with the laces so much. It was actually inside of the boot. It was like that helped him place the ball, of course, to where it was due to go. So, but yeah, once he got hit, it got stayed hit, and it was never not going on target at the very least. If the keeper got to that, well then, all credit to him because it was an excellent shot, but really impressive take. And game wise altogether, I think Corey Brown, I think lately as well, Corey Brown's actually been quite good. I've been rating his game lately. He's an attacking threat. He's giving good wide options. I'll give the credit to Jack Hingett as well. I don't think he's been all that bad going forward either. But Corey Brown's been a bit of a standout lately for me. And And I'm glad he got a goal because he's deserved it. He's had a few opportunities in front of goal, kind of getting up into that area, and he's managed to put this one away, which was needed at the time too, because it was just that point where we were getting, as I said, the first half a bit antsy. We should have had a couple of goals by that stage, and that was where we put the foot down and said, "Yep, we got that 2-goal lead. Now we're controlling this game."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just put a nice little sort of bullet point on it, and away we were, and didn't feel uncomfortable after that. We did probably feel uncomfortable for a little bit after, and I agree with what you say about Corey. I think Corey would be one of the better left backs in the league for sure.
Underrated too.
Yeah, I think so too. It's sort of anyway. He's our underrated superstar, so good lucky us, and he's happy being here. So and if he's maybe helped attract him, we'll get onto it later. A new player to the club. It's all good. We did concede one, not too far after, which just put it. Started to put something around the bit, here we go again. Is this MacArthur finally turned the wheels when Mariupa got up and sort of just got a header at the back post, back across the keeper, and put it away. It was not a great it wasn't great defending.
It was an unmarked. It was a corner or a free kick? I can't remember. He was unmarked either way.
It was a free kick, I think.
So it was unmarked anyway, so he's we could have done better there. But I'll be honest, I didn't feel like... Yeah, okay, we conceded, but I didn't feel like we were in huge amount of danger. I didn't feel like MacArthur were ever going to score a second. I just didn't think they had it in them. I thought, okay, well, they've picked one back here. That's fine. But I thought we were pretty okay otherwise. Yeah. So,
and I think that was sort of the just, you know, the, what people say about MacArthur was they just weren't generally in this game at all. And they were probably a disappointment, just how their sort of lack of ambition and, yeah, lack of really much creation going on up forward for them. So they were pretty poor. And, yeah, that's it. You never really thought. And then, obviously, we go and put the final nail in the coffin, I think, at 3-1. You know, just as when they might think they might have a chance, when it's back to 2-1, you know, only 4 minutes later is Henry putting the ball in the back of there. Now, this goal, Dave. This goal had us going, what the fuck is going on? What's going on in this goal? And even watching the replays, it takes a lot of effort to fucking see what's going on.
It did take a bit, didn't it, man? Yeah. Like, even us before the show, before we recorded, was like, what happened where? Kind of, when did this... Okay, that happened then this happened, then he tried to chop someone down, but it came off his leg, and yeah, it was a weird one.
Yeah, absolutely weird, and just a lot of stupidity going on and just sort of luck and, you know, the stupidity on MacArthur's behalf. I mean, it's Daniel De Silva. Like, where's he trying to turn into? Like, I know you're skillful, but also, mate, you're, like, 2 metres out from your goal on the defensive byline. Like, just clear the fucking thing, get it out of there. Yeah. But no, I'm going to dance around and look left and look right and then get tackled by Milicic. That's probably his first ever tackle he's laid in professional football.
Well, I'm curious now. I want to know how many tackles he's made this year now. You've got me wondering.
If you can find that stat on the Keep Up website, good luck to you.
If you find any stats on Keep Up, man, you're doing well.
Exactly. yeah, and then who do I look at it was? It was Sulchner, wasn't it? Yeah, Sulchner.
Sulchner that came in with the two-footed jumping tackle. he's just gone, fuck it. And he's just gone feet first.
Up, Kevin Muscat would have been proud. But all he's managed to do is put the ball into, I think, basically Henry Hall's shit, who's sort of jumping out of the way of it. And they basically
I think
it over the keepers.
Henry Hall was trying to kind of get a foot on. I think he was intending to. Yeah, maybe try and get up over the ball, but the ball ended up hitting the defender first, and he's kicked it into his knee, kicked it into Hall's knee, and it's just done enough. The only one covering it was De Silva, who had to run from, I don't know, 5 meters away to get there, and he couldn't do it, of course. So, man, it was a fucking... It was funny. As fuck.
That's it. We were just laughing. Like, we knew it was stupid because it happened right in front of us. Like, what the fuck is going on? That was ridiculous. And then the replay proved it was even more ridiculous than he thought. So,
yeah,
anyway.
It was all over the shop. But hey, we'll take it out whoever they can, man. If they can go past that line, I don't care if it comes off bloody Henry Hall's knee or Shushai's ass or fucking anything. I don't give a crap. Just as long as it goes in.
Do you reckon he's almost nailed down a starting spot as Henry?
After today, including today, 100%. He's shown a lot more than a lot of other players in terms of trying to unlock defences, having a crack at goal. I think Henry Hall has been quite an excellent kind of addition. We always knew he was good because you saw, you know, there's a big rap on him based on how he performed in the local leagues as well. Obviously, Warren Moon knew him from Lions. Before he went off to South Melbourne for a season. Mind you, Brisbane only ever got him from South Melbourne. His history with Lions and Warren Moon have nothing to do with the fact he was signed here. It's all about him being at South Melbourne, apparently.
He would have fun counting today's game figure. Anyway, sorry.
yeah, we'll get to that. He's one of the few outlets that's actually causing problems for defences at the moment. In attack, and I hope also him and Milicic obviously, but Henry Hoare happens to be a little bit more Johnny on the spot than Milicic, and he seems to be a bit calmer in trying to create a bit of space. He sits a bit deeper obviously than Milicic, but which means he's not necessarily going to break into the box like Nikola is, but he's certainly able to he's got a cooler head on him when it comes to being a bit under pressure and creating a bit of space. I think he's nailed down the spot at the moment, 100%.
Yeah, that's it. And I'd be really interested to see, like, because he's got a bit of pace about him. I mean, if we can get Ivanovic back up front, it could actually be quite a deadly, you know, we might actually be close to having sort of a deadly, quick attacking front three. Anyway, that's by the by. Anything more you really want to...
Well, he was on the bench today. You never know.
Exactly. So he must be somewhat fit, if he can at least get on an aeroplane and go to Sydney, if he doesn't get on the field. Is there anything more you want to cover from that one before we get into the much worse stuff?
Just give me a second. I just want to bask in the fact that this is the good part of the show. Yeah. Just give me 1 second of silence. There we go. Thank you. I just needed that because it's all downhill from here.
It was all downhill from here. I don't know whether to actually appreciate that. Once again, I lost my season membership ticket to a bloody stand that had clearly stayed there from the previous home game and didn't even have a camera on it this time. But no. With the rain, at least it made a nice little cubby hole to hide under from the rain. So, you know, swings around.
You were drier than those in the freaking stand, mate.
That's it. It was interesting, actually, how many people bailed at halftime. Like, because obviously, I think we had a reasonable shower sort of late in the first half, and then just people, I think, looked at the rain and went, ah, there's more coming, I'm bailing. definitely like 500 people left, easy.
There was one moment actually where the show, where the broadcast was going on, and you started seeing people like get up and leave from the bottom tier of the camera side, and I'm just thinking to myself, the game's not that bad, guys. Like, come on, actually up here, guys. Yeah, come on.
That was driving rain. It was cold when that rain was coming through. Yeah, yeah. That's the downside to a stadium.
I made a good choice not to go. It appears. So yeah, that's all right.
That's it. All right, that ends the good part of the show. Dear listeners, it's time to move on. Let's begin the shitstorm. We'll start with the bad, which was the game that just literally happened hours ago as we record this on Wednesday night. So it was Wellington 3, Scott Wooten in the 33rd, Gail Sandoff, Sandoval, isn't it? Sandoval in the 63rd.
And Gail Sandoval, yes. Sandoval.
And Rene Piscopo in the 67th, Brisbane Roar 0. Attendance, which is what we're making it before, has been officially listed as 38. 38 people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the one.
I'm pretty sure they all got on camera at some point.
Yeah, I think they did.
There's a shot of Little Yellow Corner. So if anyone is aware of the Phoenix fans that do attend the games in Wollongong, typically, they call themselves Little Yellow Corner because they're obviously kind of maybe expats, but they're usually they don't tie themselves to another team, so they're back in the Knicks while they're in Australia. That photo had 10 people, and it astounds me to think that sparse number of people who were very well spaced out was a quarter of the attendance on the day. It's pretty incredible.
I mean, for one, I'm shocked that a game that kicked off at 5:25 on a Wednesday afternoon in Sydney, between two teams not from Sydney, only got 38 people to it. Who would have thought?
I know it kind of set up to fail. I mean, they would have been better off just closing the doors, wouldn't they?
Well, that's it. They did that. They copped a bit of stick for doing that. They did that to the Victory a week or two ago, and they literally said if they get a sponsor or not. So, and I noticed this week they did have a sponsor. So I think it was a Skoda dealership or someone sponsored them. So they opened the doors.
Yeah. I saw something about that. So good on them for getting that got across the line. It allowed that 38 people.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can tell that 38 obviously doesn't include. You know, they're not counting staff and players in that because, let's face it, 22 people were on the field at any one time.
There's more than that on the bench.
Five subs on each team. There's 32. Then a couple of spare keepers, 34 coaching staff. You've exceeded 40 people just on the bench, and that's just the playing team, groups.
Add some referees.
You're not even factoring in referees, your broadcast people, all that sort of stuff. You've quickly exceeded. Look, basically, there was 100 people there to witness and partake in that game. It's a bit of a crazy one, but
nice of them to put out an official attendance anyway. Yeah. Now,
it's clearly the lowest attendance ever in A-League history. That's not behind closed doors. So
we will have an asterisk against it because it's a displaced team. That's for sure.
Even so. But yeah, you mentioned Scott Wooten scoring the former Manchester United, and for Nate, of course, the former Leeds United player. He played a grand total of 0 games for Manchester United, so I don't know how much we are put into stock on that.
It's a bit like calling Lescano a former Liverpool man.
Hey, former Liverpool and Real Madrid, thank you. don't forget Real Madrid. Yeah, so former Leeds, probably more appropriately, former Leeds player. Had a little, did his service in the UK, sort of lower leagues as well before coming out here. That was only his first game, but still pretty much unmarked. I tweeted that he was under pressure. I think it was just more the fact that he was in around about 3 players who put no pressure on him, but they were just there, and so he had to jump. So that was the pressure. Really wasn't good enough by our defenders.
No, that was really poor defending for that one, and just, left him unmarked, and Well, yeah, so, no, I think someone was sort of marking him and got dropped off of him, and then I think Corey Brown was sort of behind him, but Corey Brown wasn't going to outjump him. He was a pretty big lad, so didn't need to jump much to be up ahead of anyone. So, yeah, pretty poor. No. Good header in the corner, put it past the keeper, but yeah, you'd expect someone who's got reasonable experience and probably from the English lower leagues to... That was pretty bread and butter for a player like that.
Especially, yeah, that sort of stuff is, that's what they do, basically. Your centre-backs go up for corners, they get up there, they head a ball in, and that's what they expect in those sorts of lower leagues in England, you know. They make use of the set pieces because it's an easy way for to goal. You're not going to have, goalkeepers that are good enough to stop it, but take that to the A-League. If you're well versed in doing that in the first place, then you're absolutely going to be able to do it here. You need to protect your goal a bit better as a defender. Get your biggest man on him to put all sorts of pressure on and jump up. Connor Chapman would have been fantastic right about there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's face it.
I mean,
Scott Neville's not a huge guy.
Neither's Kai True, and he's not a big lad. That's where we really miss our captain to man up on someone like that. So, you know.
That would have been perfect, eh? Our captain would have been perfect, but I think he's been out for the better part of a year now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Connor Chapman. Yeah, it's the other one.
Exactly.
If you look at our back line, Corey Brown, True, and Neville, Hingett, none of them are tall players. Steinman's probably the tallest player on the pitch.
Lascano would have been, actually.
Okay, well, I don't see Lascano going back to defend against his centre-back. I think he's probably sitting
there. He should
from a corner. Hold the ball up.
He should be at the corner.
This is true.
Anyway,
I'd have these arguments with the tackles all the time. It's not going to happen all the time. Us defenders go up for corners when we're attacking, right? We have to bust our gut all the way back. Why can't they come back and help me? that's the defender of me talking.
Never been clear.
Yeah,
that.
It's so he was well and truly head and shoulders above everyone in that one, and there was just no pressure on it. So. Should have done better, really. And I don't know. If I was going to be really picky, maybe Freak could have come out to punch the ball and made it a bit harder for Witten to get his head on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's me being real.
Yeah, it's
pedantic.
Yeah, no, I think the pack was at the front post, wasn't it? And he sort of wheeled off to the back. So, yeah.
There was a few people at the back. That's what I mean. He had a bit of people around him, but it was... Yeah, not good enough.
Yeah, no, not good enough. That's probably the positive around probably that though was Henry Hoare hit the post twice. He hit it well in the first half, and second half was then it was a real sliding doors moment. So what about Henry's two shots that he nearly got on target?
Like you said, real sliding doors moment, because right before they scored, we hit the post. And but one thing, and I suppose this comes back to what I was saying about Henry Hoare being kind of a shoo-in for a spot. One thing he did really well was just create himself a bit of space to be able to have a shot. So get himself, not just create a bit of space, but also to make sure when he gets that space, he's facing forward. He's facing the goal. And he gets a chance to have a shot. So that ball, cuts inside. All of a sudden, instead of it being, 1-0 and we're defending, it's 1-1 and it's back at halfway. Next minute, Sandoval goes up the other end and puts it past... Correct, and it's within the space of a minute we go from again potentially being 1-1 to down 2-0. So it's unfortunate because it would have been, like you said, a bit of a sliding doors moment. It would have changed the complexion of the game and maybe given us a bit more impetus to push on. Rene Piscopo probably doesn't score if we're putting them under a bit of pressure now. So
I think it was just that sort of like, we sort of create, we're generally in the game and we create something pretty good. Yeah, admittedly, look, it takes a good shot from outside the box. Yeah, hits the post. Oh, damn it. And then boom, straight up the other end. And literally almost from similar areas, he puts it into the... Admittedly, they had a lot more defenders around our attacker than we had defenders around their attacker when he was scoring. That probably made a difference in the ability for him to put it in the corner of the net. But
Well, that comes down to the counter, doesn't it? Because we still have players coming back after the initial attack. So, they were able to get up the other end. And again, it comes down to the way the players are facing. If you've got defenders running back, it's harder for you to be able to put a tackle in against a player running the same direction as you. They're trying to get to that goal, so they're running the way that they're meant to be running to make the best of the situation. The defenders are running back sort of backwards, sort of sideways to try and get themselves in front of you, put in a tackle, which is ultimately moving their whole body the other direction or changing direction from the way that they're running. It makes it harder. Whereas the defenders for Wellington would have been set to maybe position themselves a little bit better, which, you know, it doesn't change the fact if Henry Hill's shot went in the goal, it was, you know, it was level and we're in a much better position, but it just means that, you know, it gives them a little bit more time, I suppose, to be able to set themselves and place their shot.
Yeah, that's it.
In that situation.
Yeah, and, you know, and it was a well-placed shot. Not much Freed could do about it.
Oh, great goal. Yeah, great goal.
And then 4 minutes later, our defence just collapses again on the counter. And just, yeah, they just ran away with it and a bit extra play. And Renato Pizzico could almost have a mistouch in the box and still had enough time to still slot a pass.
I think Trowin got done for this one, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the one running part. He was the one running back with whoever it was that went attacking. I can't remember who it was. Yeah, and just got absolutely done like a dinner. And Trowin, to his credit, he kept trying, he kept pushing back, and he was sort of, but then he couldn't even get sort of the, you know, like this sort of the diving to like block the shot on the line sort of thing. He couldn't even get that working for him. It just wasn't his day, I don't think, Kai Trowin.
No, I'm not going to hold too much against him. He's been bloody good all season, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, just one of those moments where he's. Just didn't work out.
That's it. He got a bit found out. And, you know, like I said, you know, we're missing a lot of other solid, you know, defenders around him. So I hope, you know, I hope these other defenders coming back.
He's almost the senior defender there.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Neville is, but
he's, well, okay. Say Scott Neville's there. Okay, sure. Okay, I just remembered this actual back line. He's not the senior defender in any way, shape, or form.
No. he is very much still the junior.
He's not the senior defender. But I just quickly looked up his. Just while we're chatting there, just looked up his kind of appearances, number of appearances. He's on 39 games.
Yeah, 40,
for his, you know, he's just short of 40, yeah. So his next game will be 40 games. To think that he, you know, last year, he came in as a backup. He played 25 games last year. He's played every game this year. He's no longer... basically, when Aldridge comes back, Connor Chapman comes in, it's going to be a fight for that spot. It's even if they go to three-man backline, it's going to be a fight. There's going to be he's going to have every right to say no. I've earned this spot.
Yeah, hang on, you know? I've been here all season. What the fuck? Exactly. That's all right. He'll be right. Aldridge will get injured again, so he'll be fine.
Definitely. Yeah. To year and a half of Aldridge being injured is basically what we've seen out of him.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's frustrating.
Fowler
left and he put a spell on Aldridge, so you can't play anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
He's done the old Zimbabwean curse, which is stopped Australia making a World Cup. So he's like, well, that worked for stopping for Australia making a World Cup. We'll just do it on Aldridge because he's left behind and
yeah.
I don't know, said naughty things about me. I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
He probably didn't. I've got no evidence of that. I should probably just put that out there. I've got no evidence that Aldridge has said bad things about Fowler. It's just, yeah. It'd be funny.
Who knows? Maybe he's had deals to go get Fowler to whatever Fowler. Oh, wait, Fowler hasn't got another coaching gig. Ah, that's right. After the Indian debacle. I'm sure he probably tried to poach him to India.
Maybe he wanted. I was going to say, maybe he tried to poach him to India, and he actually got injured. And then he went, you know what? Get the Zimbabwean witch doctor out. Put a hex on him so he can't play all the next year as well. It takes Scotty Neville, but, you know, he'll survive. He'll be able to play beyond that. But Aldridge? No.
That's it.
It's what has happened. It's obviously what's happened.
Yeah, exactly. anything more you want to add about this? I mean, just to the overall.
I talk some shit. Stop. Yeah. Can you stop me when I talk shit like that?
There's only two of us. One of us has got to talk.
but I don't have to talk that much shit, mate. You can tell me to shut the fuck up.
Especially about Zimbabwean witch doctors and theories.
Oh, mate. I've just gone all sorts of. I've gone into the history of fucking Australian football today with the fucking Zimbabwean witch doctors and fucking Peter Hoare. Everything's just. Yeah. Anyway.
Water, I don't know, Zimbabwe or somewhere else. Wasn't it? Anyway, doesn't matter. Let's not get into that.
I'm going to find out. You know that, right?
John Zaffron's works are available for you to go and look at. I think in the end, look, it felt very similar to the Dub game, just how he sort of conceded, just, you know, just defence falling apart and just not a great structure there for the defence against good counter-attacking. And we'll get to them in a second. I think what we haven't won away from home yet, so that's a problem. We've barely basically scored away from home. This season, so that's definitely not a good sign. And if really, probably on this final point, I mean, you look at sort of the three teams that we've beaten, literally Western Sydney Wanderers went and sacked their coach after they lost to us. MacArthur, they've now in what we call a bad run of form, and Perth Glory, we caught them when they literally just hadn't played for a month because of COVID. So, and they were incredibly rusty and not very good either. So, yeah, it's sort of, we're okay. I think it means that we're good when we're at home, and at least we take some beating. which is nice. You know, like we're not pushovers at home, especially. You know, you've got to play at least reasonable football. The downside for us is if someone else does play reasonable football against us, there's a good chance we can't match it. So we need them to be down at a lower level before we can really do something against them. And that's sort of just seems to be the theme of our season. If we cop someone and they're not at their best, maybe we're a chance. But otherwise, nah, we're no good. All right.
That's it. Well, someone did mention as well on the Raw supporters page that was, we're turning it into a bit of a fortress. I did, tongue-in-cheek, kind of mention that we lost 3-1 to Adelaide. But it's...
There's a 3-1 loss to Adelaide.
But I actually, looking back at everything, it's not a million miles from the truth. You know, it's not... It's not like we've lost a whole lot of games there. Maybe Adelaide's just our bogey team. We lost
our finals to them. They've been a bogey team forever, along with Newcastle. So losing to them.
Exactly. So incidentally, it was a Mozambique witch doctor, by the way. Not Zimbabwean. We played Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, which is why I thought it was Zimbabwe. That was where the whole situation came about in 1969. Anyway, that's by the by. Let's move on.
We're currently in 11th place. We've played 11, 1-3, drawn 2, lost 6. 11 goals, 4, 16 against 11 points on the board. I assume you've updated that. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's right. That's been updated.
Only Perth Glory behind us. I think they're 3 points behind, but they do have about 3 games in hand of us right now, which leads us very nicely into the next game, where we're going to go play Perth Glory! We're going to be playing them at Utah Stadium in Northern Perth, in Tasmania, otherwise known as Launceston. Still the kickoff time as of yet, which is great.
I'm trying to find if there's anything about that, because I'd really like to know if there is a kickoff time.
I think there's already an existing game around 5 p.m, so I reckon we'll either be like 3 p.m. or we'll be like 7 p.m. So
it could also depend on whether or not they've got lights good enough to be able to do a late game. So you're right, it might be 3 p.m.
I know they would there at that setting, because that's where the AFL plays when they're in Tasmania as well.
I make a joke about Tasmania, right?
Yeah, well, they've got...
Maybe they don't have electricity. We don't know.
They ruined like half their beautiful countryside for a bloody snowy hydro system. They got plenty of energy down there.
Yeah, but they don't necessarily keep it. They might export that electricity to, I don't know, Kangaroo Island.
Norfolk Island.
Norfolk Island, all the way up to Norfolk Island.
It's definitely a power cable that runs from Tasmania to Norfolk Island.
There's definitely not an easier way to power Norfolk Island than sending a cable the entire length of the country.
just reminded me of that Simpsons episode where to get ice, the Quickie Mart sends people to Antarctica to cut ice blocks out of Antarctica. It's like, if you could think of an easy way to get ice, I'd like to hear it. And they shuttle their feet and walk off. anyway, as I was just saying, they're currently in 12th position, so this is a literal bottom of the table clash. I'm glad Tasmania spent money to get Perth down there for this. They've played 8, 1, 2, drawn 2, lost 4, 7 goals, 4, 7 against.
Hey. Yeah, bit of respect. They're bringing Brisbane to play. The rest of the games are just, whatever. They're bringing Brisbane to play.
Yes.
We all know that Brisbane is, Tasmania is a hotbed for support for Brisbane.
Well, I tell you what, the AFL's taken the Brisbane Lions a hell of a lot to Tasmania, so especially the Launceston. Yes. So, maybe there is a big Brisbane expat.
Maybe we're the team they love to hate. Maybe they're just like, you know what? Fuck Brisbane, they're too warm.
Exactly.
And we're going to beat them with cold. So
I've seen a Facebook page, Raw Fans in Tasmania, so there's at least like one or two people. There is. So.
Yeah, and they're good bander as well, too. I'll give them that.
Yeah, so hopefully they're excited to go to the game. Better turnout than Raw Fans in Sydney could achieve.
I will mention, I did, when this is all announced, and there's no time kind of listed down for when the game is, but I did have a quick squeeze to see how much it would cost to fly down to Launceston and back on match day, have a one night stay. I did find out it cost, give or take, about $500 without luggage, and a stay overnight, cheap stay overnight at the Pod Inn, which is one of those awesome pod hotels.
Oh, really?
You literally just have a pod. Yeah. So I was like, I mean, there could be worse places to crash. I'm sure I probably slept in worse bloody backpacks than a pod inn. Yeah, so
I did a pod once in Japan, and the aircon broke midway through the night. Oh boy. Oof, no.
Bloody.
No, that was, Anyway.
Do you want to go into detail for the listeners? I'm sure they're really keen to know about that.
Let's just say I slid on out of that pod nice and easy.
I just got this image of like a mucus coming out with you, like you just...
Nope.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway,
if you get your belongings on the way, as you slide out, what?
Yeah, anyway, so they...
I'd hate to have to clean that pod. That'd be the worst.
But anyway, put it this way, there's a little TV in there and you could definitely get porn channels, so... Yeah. Anyway.
Your own space?
Last game was a 1-1 against Central Coast Mariners, who were in 10th. When did that happen? That was at least a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
I don't think I updated that, to be honest. That could be anything. Fucking knows.
That could be MacArthur's last game. Maybe.
Probably. Yeah. I think it is, actually. Oh, no. No, that is Perth's one. Let me, I'll let you know in about 3 seconds, mate. You'll find out exactly. Yeah, no, it is. It was on Sunday.
Okay.
Because the Cum Dogs scored about 60 minutes, and Daniel Stein scored a late one to level it up on 93 minutes. So, yeah, it was definitely 1-1 against Central Coast.
Excellent. Good for them. All right, so yeah, look out for that one on Sunday on your TV guides in northern Perth, Tasmania.
Who uses a TV guide now?
I don't know. There's about 3 grandpas out there that still get their Sunday paper for the... And actually, Paramount Plus Paramount Plus wouldn't even be in there. Like, what do I even fucking... I don't know. Shut up, Dave.
That's the thing is... If... Just watch the fucking show, all right?
Just watch, the show. Just watch the freaking football when it happens.
Watch the fucking game. Yeah, that's what people listen to this for, direction. Watch the fucking game.
Yeah, don't come here for your facts.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to help. I'm just rearing up for the ugly, mate. We've done the good, we've done the bad.
Yep.
Let's get on to the ugly.
It is time to get on to the ugly. So the ugly was, unfortunately, the A-League women's team. It was Brisbane Roar 2, Shay Connors with a double. So nice to see her finally hitting the back of the net. Adelaide United, 8. Yeah, it was 8-2.
No, this is literally the worst. It's the absolute worst.
Yeah, we'd hate to be Brisbane Roar's defensive team at the moment. You know, I did love the tweet you put out, actually, just that you, I think, said, I think we nearly scored late, or they nearly scored like a 9th or something. It's like, oh, I'm glad it stayed 8-2, so people can still make their terrible pun jokes about 8-2.
Yeah. It's important that you got to have the meme.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't have the meme if it was 9-2 or 9 or 8-3 or something like that. That just fucks it up.
Exactly, 8-2. So Shea Connors scored in, she scored in the 59th. Yeah,
by the time it was 8-1, everyone's like, we better fucking score, because otherwise this meme's just fucking shit. Shea Connors comes through with the meme.
Yeah, exactly. Well done, Shea. She even got the orange for it as well, actually.
So she should. She was one of 2 players that was any fucking good that day.
Adelaide United, yeah, they scored 8. So Fiona Watts scored in the 33rd, the 43rd, the 57th, the 64th, and the 74th. Chelsea Dorber scored in the 13th minute. Holly Palmer, an own goal in the 23rd. And Matilda McNamara in the 55th. And apparently about 1,000 people there, which sounds about right. But I'm guessing they forgot to actually take an official counter. But that was probably about right.
I reckon that's a very good... guesstimate. That's what they've given there. What do you reckon? 1,000? Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, right, let's go with that.
Shaycon has also picked up the only booking for the game in the 39th minute.
Can you read my first point there that I've put on the run sheet? Just for the listeners.
What an absolute shit show this was, Dave.
I think that's about all we need to say about this game.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it was awful.
It's an absolute shit show. We will say more, because there's more to say, but...
Yeah,
this is a shit show. This is 11 players traveling to Brisbane, or traveling to Queensland, because let's face it, it's Redcliffe, traveling to Queensland who are up for a game and have something to play for against 2 players keen to do something and 9 that happened to be there that day and pulled out of the crowd. It is what it felt like. There was no good performances on there. I'd probably say if you're rating players out of 10, 2 best players were 6 out of 10s, and that was... maybe 7 out of 10 for Connors, because she put 2 away, but...
No, she also had some downsides. Six at best.
Oh, just purely on the basis that she still scored 2 goals. Yeah. You take any player scores 2 goals in a game, you take that every day of the week. Doesn't matter if they're shit elsewhere. Mm. They've still put 2 on the board. So I'll give her a 7. She wasn't fantastic, but she stood at that. Gorrie, a 6. That's not her best game, but she definitely stood out as one of the better players.
Still looked like she was giving a fuck, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah, she still looked like she gave a shit. Everyone else, fuck me. Anything from a 3 to a 0 on that pitch that day. It was just fucking terrible. I did make a note there as well in terms of... actually, I don't know if I made the note there, but I'll make it now. it seemed like first goal, because the first goal came 13 minutes in, we were a little, I think we were a little bit of the pump even at that stage. Schwartz was, in my opinion, quite aggressive in the game, and I think that probably shook a lot of players, especially the ones she was coming up against on a regular basis. She was quite aggressive, she was quite niggly, she was a little bit, I don't know... If she was playing for my team, I'd be fucking loving it because it's full dark arts sort of kick the ball away, talk a bit of shit, have a smile when someone gets shitty at you, you know, those sorts of little dark arts to rile people up. But she was also on form, like she was really impressive. And I think it all kind of just kicked off, you know, when it was going downhill, but then just fucking hit the roller coaster downhill without the upside of the rest of the roller coaster once Chelsea Dorber scored. Because you had a back pass to Mia Bailey, who, to be honest, probably wasn't the best place to back pass it to her, but she hesitated in clearing it. When she did finally get a clearance on it, it went straight to Chelsea Dorber, who just had to put it in the goal. And everything was downhill from there, including sort of body language, attitude. Holly Palmer's own goal was... I don't know what she was doing with her body shape. She was hit her back and went in the goal off a corner.
A corner, and she had no one near her. What? Yeah.
And she had no one near her. Like, that's the sort of thing you'd see at freaking City 7 sort of level. You know, it's not good enough for this level. She's a better player than that too. I think Holly Palmer's great, but
I think Holly Palmer's confidence. Terrible. I mean, she's obviously coming back from a bad injury, so she's just not quite there as what she wants as a player. So
That's something that she needs to, like, if that's something that's going to impact her game, like, you know, in terms of safe, you know, being defending in that manner, like, that's just body shape. Like I said, she had no one around her. Don't know what happened there. She just turned her back on it, and it went off her back and in the goal. And before you know it, we're 2-0 down, and obviously it got worse from there.
It's the last time you're allowed to use that, by the way.
Okay, thank you. I accidentally used it then, actually, so I had to kind of follow through with it. We just had no midfield. We got bullied, and we had no answer to it.
And like, I think like a centre back pairing of Rashgart and probably and Jamila Rankin, I don't think either of them are particularly angry sort of step up types. We once again played Anna McGrath at what, right back. I still don't like it, and I think that was the side that Fiona Watts, she was playing sort of left wing, wasn't she? So attacked a lot through.
She swapped though, man.
She was all over the place, was she?
She was left wing, but she was she I remember her swapping around every now and again as well. So
yeah.
Probably predominantly left wing. Tatham was on our right, I think, but I could be wrong.
Doesn't matter. Like, you know, just sort of they sort of just were a bit easily bypassed, and it was Ishinori was no presence in midfield, which she has been when she's played, but then she's just coming back from injury as well. So, you know, just completely run over and just way too much space in between the lines and between the players. And, there's not even any point really getting into many of the goals because, you know, if there's eight of them, it's not.
I will mention one of the goals. I think it was a goal. Was obviously a situation where Mia Bailey was injured as well. On 68 minutes. I think you said that she was taken away in an ambulance.
Yeah, absolutely. The ambulance came. The two paramedics there went behind the goal. She went down that end. I think trying to stop that goal, diving in the knee, and she was sort of just behind the next of the net, and got carted off around the side. So straight off to hospital. Yeah.
There was a tweet just about an hour or so before we recorded today saying that Mia Bailey had avoided serious injury. So that's good. No information about whether she's available or whether it was precautionary or anything like that. I'd imagine from what you're saying, it's probably not precautionary.
That's it. I mean, she obviously clearly
heard
a lot there. And
So I dare say she's probably out for a few weeks. Then.
Puts her out for most of the rest of the season. Really. Georgie Wirth was also off getting scans, which is why she didn't play. So I'm not quite sure what... And I think I saw her hobbling about on crutches at training, so she's injured. So Izzy Shadowworth, she got her debut, and there's a good chance she might be playing again this Friday night. So well done to her. And
how many keepers did we have on the books? Like 11?
We'll have another one somewhere. I actually thought she was actually all right.
Unless we have the same issue with the Knicks, where they can't sign a substitute or an extra keeper because their main keeper's on international duty. Here's a question for you. I'll throw it out there for you, just as a random off the cuff one. If we can't get another keeper, who would you have come in as your secondary or your spare keeper on the bench?
Ooh.
Which player that we've got? We do have one. We've got Duvern on the bench anyway, but for argument's sake, we oh, actually
No,
no, is
Devin's
she?
an
No, she's
outfielder.
a midfielder. What am I
Yeah.
talking about?
I
So
reckon.
if we needed to put someone off the bench,
I
who'd you?
reckon Big Jesse Rashcart. I reckon she'd
Take her out of the
have a
back
go at the
line?
back. Well, why not? Were you going to put Marielle Ecker in there? Like, Shea Connors? Mini Gorry? I think actually the joke in the Raw Club was we'll put Mini in.
Crummer.
Crummer, yeah.
I'd put Crummer in. You know what? Strikers and keepers are interchangeable.
You know what? We could.
Every keeper thinks they're a striker, and every striker thinks they know how a keeper works. So put Crummer in there, I reckon.
I reckon so. I wonder if someone
Meg
like
McElliott,
yeah,
one of the two.
McElliott. I reckon like a Nat Tatum or someone. She's a good team player. She'd probably pull the gloves on.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad shout, actually. I think Tatham would. She'd also cut some people down too.
Exactly. She'd
Yeah,
also get sent
she'd
off.
really make. She'd make use of the. She'd make use of the fact that she can punch the ball and accidentally punch people on the way through.
Exactly.
And I'm here for it. I'm here for always here for that. I get the feeling that, like you said, Hecker, she gets a bit feisty sometimes. I reckon she'd be keen to do that sometimes too. But,
Punch
maybe she
people.
doesn't have the height.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the combination of being Brazilian and redhead, I think, can just kind of dial it up to 11 sometimes, and it can be full scale riot at some point. She's a great footballer, but I reckon she can just lose it sometimes. It's great to watch. Yeah, so that we'll dial that back. I'm pretty sure we've got another keeper
Yeah,
that I'll be able
I
to
think we
pull on
did
in
have.
any
I think we
case.
did have someone else at the start of the season. So there'll be another
I think there
QAS.
was
Yeah,
four.
there's another QAS player or something around that will be able to be on the bench. I'm sure. I think the Knicks' problem is they're only allowed to have a certain number of Australian players or something like that. I think that's where they're getting into bigger trouble.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I think
Gotcha.
so.
Gotcha. And they're looking for an exemption because obviously they can't get someone from New Zealand.
Exactly.
Fair enough. I should note that we just mentioned the back line of this. I think it was completely obvious, and this is a it will come into, I suppose, what I'm going to consider my rant for this show, in a second off the back of this. But completely obvious that missing Haffenden, the 19-year-old
Yeah,
centre
18,
back,
19-year-old, yeah.
it just completely destabilised our back line. She has been, for someone so young and for the season we've had, she's actually been really good. I've been really impressed by Haffenden. Yeah, she's going to make mistakes. She's learning her craft at this level. She's been consistent. She hasn't been wildly inconsistent. She hasn't had really good days and really bad days and just all over the shop. She's been steady improvement over the season. And the sort of player that I can certainly see us building through some seasons with and really kind of hopefully turning into a quality, at the very least, a quality dub centre back. You know, one of the sort of players that you think, yep, hallmark player. She'll be great.
Worst of
If she
Kim
doesn't push
Carroll,
on to
at
bigger
best
and
of
better.
Pox. That's, you know, somewhere in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Makes that something. Yeah.
Exactly right. And that would be amazing, you know, if she was able to do that. So I can certainly see her becoming one of those sorts of key players. We saw it with some of the players last year, like I've completely forgotten her name, but she was one of my favourites from last year.
Winnie
The
Heatley or
Winona Healy. Winnie Healy, yeah. She's gone on and, you know, she's gone leaps and bounds now playing for City. She's probably the less heralded fullback from last year. Rankin was getting all the plaudits, but Heatley ended up getting the move, and probably for the better of her career, really, because if she stayed in this team, she would have been
Who knows? We might have defended better with him.
probably losing. Yeah. So, in terms of this, though, Heaven, I think, is probably massively missed in this. If you allow me to kind of build on that as well, because this kind of goes into the deeper problem. To, who commentated on the game, did mention towards the end that a result like this should really sort of send a shockwave or send a full-scale review or spark some sort of review into Brisbane, not just in the coaching side of things, which obviously has to happen to some degree, but also for the administration. And I think it's fairly clear with the season that we've had, with the players that we've had, with the inverted commas, Queensland-based or Queensland-linked sort of strategy of you know, signing players that have got a connection to Queensland or to Brisbane, is purely just marketing spin for we're not spending any money on our team this year, and you can see that in both the Dub side and the Ute League side. From a player perspective, we've not brought in anyone of any sort of note. We've had Okay, Larissa Crumb is, I think she's a Matilda.
Oh,
Gory's obviously
former
Matilda.
long
Her.
time ago now for Larissa Crummer.
Yeah, a long time ago now. She obviously had that massive injury, came back. And it was a great moment last year when Crummer played and you know, scored on her return, and that was excellent. I didn't think that we'd see her leading the line off the back of that. And that's obviously what's happened. She's been our number one sort of striker up the top of the food chain, so to speak. So that was a surprise. The entire squad, though, there's obviously deficiencies in terms of what they're willing to spend and what the clubs actually decide to do, because it feels like there's no ambition out of that side. And if you roll it back, so, okay, even if you said to McGrath, hey, look, you've got this budget, go out and spend that much money, or go out and find players that will fit this budget. And he's looked at that and says, well, I might be able to get Katrina Gorrie back in. I might be able to get, there might be some money to keep, you know, Georgie Worth, who's got a bit of experience, Larissa Crummer, who's got a bit of experience. And I've got these young players from the last season, like Rankin, that we've got to keep. So we'll keep them on the books. But what else are we going to do? Great, we're going to fill the side with NPL players. And don't get me wrong, there are some good NPL players in there. Hecker, player. Shay Connors, we've spoken about her before in terms of what she can do. Good player. Her key things, finishing, being more consistent with her finishing. It looks like she did a good job in this particular occasion. But it feels like the club just decided, we're putting the fucking checkbook away. You guys can have the bare minimum. And you can see that in the Ute League side as well, and the actual squad that we've signed there. We've described them in the past as a good NPL All-Stars team, and that's what they are. We make a joke out of it, but ultimately it comes back to...
We lost the NPL All-Stars.
This is true. Yeah, to be fair, most of those goals were scored by youth players from Brisbane. Yeah. All right, so let's not look down entirely on it, but it was not good. Yeah, we've looks like we've got no freaking ambition to go forward from where we are now to improve on that. We've just said, all right, look, we're not going to spend any money. Here's the best of what you're going to have. Here's so keep the players that are on here at the moment. Oh, okay, this key player's gone down in Aldred. Great. Well, you can have nothing to fucking back it up. Sydney reject on loan. Here's the bloke we found that was playing in Q8 because he couldn't get a gig in the A-League previously. Here's, we've basically got maybe a first team, and that's about it. You know, it's, and even then, that first team competes against teams that are fucking playing shit or come off a long break or have played a lot of games in a short space of time. Nothing that's anything, anyone that's consistent, they're not up to the pace in terms of playing games. You know, anyone's playing games on a regular basis where we're not playing well against them. So it all comes back to, I suppose, what the coach has been allowed to do. I put responsibility on some of the coaches here as well, because obviously their job is to make sure these teams are up to scratch and that they're good enough. Ultimately, they need to be able to scout the players, make sure they can get the players that are of good enough standard to be able to do these jobs. And I think in terms of both coaches, they've done that to an extent, but there's just no depth in any of these sides. It's showing on game day, and it's showing on the actual... Well, the club championship is a bit of an example. We're probably, I think we're last.
Because
Wanderers winning today probably puts them ahead of us.
It'll be close.
I dare say, especially they are lost at 3-0. Yeah, I think they've done a 5-goal swing. I'm pretty sure they've beaten us.
But they're
probably
last by 5, didn't they? So maybe not.
But that was I think we worked out just today a 5-goal swing is probably enough to swing it back in their favour. So the fact that we're that far down a championship ladder, which is representative of the club's two sides, goes to show that there's no, and it's kind of relative to the actual teams in each ladder as well, on the men's and the women's side of things. It's not good enough. It feels like the club have just decided, fuck it, put the pill kill on the rack. We're not going to invest in this club anymore. We'll just let it tick over and do the bare minimum we need to. And Brisbane fans, well. Again, I put up this post a couple of days ago now, kind of saying, where the fuck is this? You know, why are we not kind of looking into this more? Why aren't we making more noise as a fan group? People are making apologies for the club, saying, oh, you know, they're going to do this much, they can only do that much. It's like, yeah, great, but why are they only doing that much? Is it because of this? Great. Why aren't we making more noise about the owners? Why aren't we making more noise about the administration? Why aren't we making more noise about, you know, why aren't we kind of demanding that things are improving? Years ago, we had a banner in the den, which went was to the effect of, success isn't final, failure isn't fatal. I can't remember the fucking last line, but it was fucking poignant. But it was basically the point of, you know, you could win games, you can lose games. That's not the issue. It's basically if you don't fucking engage and you don't invest in your own team and if you don't can do it properly, that's where the club will die. And you see that in regards to fucking attendance numbers. You see it with things, you know, fucking decisions like taking the fucking team out to Redcliffe with no discernible sort of end in sight, no sort of plan or mapped out for anyone to say, hey, we're going to be out here for 3 years with a view to do this. You know, it's just we're going out to Redcliffe, cop it, tough luck. Even Western Sydney, when they had their stadium being built, had a fucking timeline on what they were planning on doing. Yeah, it was garbage out of that fucking AFL stadium to the showgrounds, yeah, I think it was. Yeah. For football, it wasn't great, but at least they knew when they were going back to their new home, yeah? At this stage, if another team got put into Brisbane, they set themselves fucking anywhere on the south side, I'd have half a mind to think about, you know what, I might go to that game, I might start supporting them a bit more because they're a bit closer to me. I don't know when this other team from Brisbane's going to come back to Brisbane. At the moment, they're Redcliffe Raw, and we've seen the shirts, right? So, the administration of this club at the moment aren't doing enough. Or at least if they are doing enough, they're not communicating what they're doing enough. Suggest to people that there's a direction. At the moment, you look at this club and you think, where the fuck are we going? You look at the team on the pitch. You look at results like 8-2. And you think, what the fuck is happening? Why is this club that was... And I think... some of the dub commentators have mentioned this too, like Amy Chapman and Yeoman Dale and that sort of stuff, have said these teams were up at the top of the... Now, Canberra and Brisbane were two teams that were at the top of their game the dub started. Brisbane have always been thereabouts. We've had shit seasons, but it never felt like we were completely off the pace like we have this year. But now those two teams are absolute fucking dog shit. What's happened? And you look at... Okay, Canberra, I'm not going to speak for them because it's not my club and I don't know much about their hierarchy, their background. But if you look at Brisbane, look at the kind of direction the club's gone over the past couple of years, it's the same fucking direction. It's the same direction that the dub side's gone. It's the same direction that the men's side's gone. It feels like it's a downhill fucking slide. And I agree that COVID's probably had an impact. COVID hasn't impacted every other club in the same direction. There's obviously some other decisions made. Otherwise, you wouldn't see a club like Melbourne Victory go from fucking last to fucking first. Okay, they've lost a few games lately, but you know they've won a trophy in the space of 6 months. Why? Because they made an appointment that fucking made a change.
Recruited effectively.
Brisbane don't have any fucking ambition. They did. They're using the money that they're using their cap limit. It feels like they're spending their cap limit. We're spending our cap floor. We've got no desire to go anywhere near that cap limit. Maybe we've paid fucking players of substandard quality a bit more just to make sure we hit that mark. You know. Or maybe we've signed special scholarship players on a proper deal so that we can make sure that we can get that, you know, hit that floor to make sure we tick the box. At the moment, it feels like the club has just gone fucking downhill and there's no breaks. And until there's any sort of plan or kind of communication in terms of what their fucking plan.
Yeah, it's hard not to disagree with you, Dave. Like, you're sort of going through the motions going out to the football and you sort of, I don't know, the wins don't mean as much as they once did, even when we do win. And it's sort of, you just, what's the overall plan? Where is this football club going? Like, it exists because, Brisbane, right? But
the market, yeah. You need to tick that box.
Yeah, exactly. But we've got 5,000, we've really seemed to have capped out about 5,000 people turning up. We seem to turn up in all weather, which is great, I guess. But that seems to be about it. We're not really attracting much more in. I think most other people have given up. A lot of those people who occasionally turn up have just sort of stopped and occasionally like, oh, hey, look, that dude's here. I haven't seen you for a while. Like, oh, it's like 4 games ago. So we've just sort of... And so you just wonder, where are we going? What's the plan? And, you know, we heard it's only for a couple of years at Redcliffe, but I don't see any other plans that are solid to move anywhere else that is respectable. So anyway, that was a good rant, Dave. It was a good rant. You had some good points, and I think it's just summing up some... feelings at the moment around the place.
We just when we post the show, can we just CC in, you know, David Poro so we can give it a listen? Yeah. And we'll get, he can get back to us on his plan.
Oh, Dave's all right. He was looking rather thin and gaunt on the weekend. So, anyway, I did see him. So that lie. But anyway. So the women's team, they're currently in 8th position out of...
Hey, off the back of that, by the way, we're in 8th.
We're in 8th.
Kind of feels a bit redundant after that, doesn't it?
It does. That was still the women's game or something up there, Dave. Yeah. We're in 8th. You know, but that's because Wellington are basically a brand new team and getting screwed over. And, well, thank God the Western Sydney Wanderers exist because they're making us look vaguely competent. And they do spend money. Not so much on their W League team, on their women's team. So, yeah, 8th place, played 10. 1-2, drawn 1, lost 7 now, 16-4, 26 against. That was like the biggest ever loss that's basically been recorded on TV. All the other bigger losses that happened really early days in the W League were before basically there was recordings at each game. So, yeah. Yay!
Yeah.
Next game. Next
if it
game.
Makes you feel any better, since Sydney have lost 5-0 two times in a row now. So that does make me feel a little bit better.
It does make me feel a little bit better, except that we lost to them. We gave them their only win. Next up is Canberra United.
Bring it back down, mate. I'm trying to build it up again. I'm trying to feel better about doing this pod. I've got my rant in. I'm happy with that. Yeah, I want to build like some extra goodwill for the listeners.
Here's something good, Dave. Brisbane are actually going to play in Brisbane.
Get out.
I know. What? I know.
How did they manage to do that?
I don't know. They asked their way into it because Gold Coast Knights don't want to
have anything. Hang on. Is it like Brisbane as in like Perth are playing in Perth, Tasmania, we're playing in Brisbane in another state,
We're playing in Gosford at the Brisbane Water.
I knew it, there was a catch,
there's always a catch. The catch was it's only announced 3 days before they actually play there, so no one can actually plan to go. It's Brisbane Roar v Canberra United at Perry Park on Friday night, 6:40. Yeah, Stadio della Telefonica. 6:45 PM kickoff there on Friday night at Stadio Del Peri. So Canberra currently in 7th place, just one position above us. They've won one less game than us, but they've drawn 3 more, so that we're on the same number of points. Their goal difference just a little better. Yeah, it's slightly better after our drumming on the weekend. So in theory, it should be a close game.
No, it's ironic. I can't go to this game because I too am playing a pre-season game. It's a competition, which happens to be a battle for 7th and 8th as well. So this is 7th versus 8th. Our game has to be. There's. You know, we'll probably. If we lose our game and the dub side loses their game, we're all late still. So, yeah, it works well.
Absolutely. Now, if you want contrasting form for Canberra United, they beat Western Sydney Wanderers 5-0, Dave. 5-0 in their last game.
It's a good win.
Nowhere. It's a good win. Very good win. That's a very good win. But before that, they had a 3-0 loss to Wellington, who previously had never won a game.
Loss.
That's a big. How do you pick that form line?
Well, currently, I mean, in the last two games, they've improved their points tally by 3 and improved their goal difference by 2, so they must be cheering.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I think it's fair to say the bottom 5 teams, there's a real top 5 and a bottom 5 in the women's league.
Oh, yeah.
And, the bottom 5 are all pretty close, so, yeah.
Well, we're saying pre-show as well. I think Brisbane's games remaining are Canberra at home, City away, Newcastle away. Beat Canberra, we'll lose to City. A game between Brisbane and Newcastle could be a battle for 6th and 7th, in theory. So, who knows?
Who knows? That's it. Who knows? And we are definitely not making finals as well. So, get around that. Brisbane Roar playing in Brisbane at Perry Park. We've already talked about that. Club Championship, where I think I just did the maths before because it just updated. I think we are ahead of Wanderers by a point. The men are 1 point ahead. Women are 1 point behind. Yeah, no, the Western Sydney. Actually, no, sorry, we are ahead of them on goal difference. Yes, so we are.
We're ahead on goal difference.
Yeah, we're ahead on goal difference. Ours is minus 10 in the women's. Theirs is minus 17. Western Sydney Wanderers have only scored 3 goals all season in the women's league, Dave. Yeah.
This is true. Okay, wow. Well, good on us for not sucking nearly as much as Wanderers women's side, I guess. Yeah, I mean, small wins, but we'll take it.
Hmm. Exactly, yeah, that is a very small win. A little bit of news. Scotty Neville actually played his 250th A-League game on the for this Wednesday night game, so well done to him. I think 18th
booked
player.
As well, good on him.
Yeah, booking him in his 18th game.
Can I quickly just touch on one thing, actually? The Jack Hingett 200th game, of course, is the MacArthur game. Right before kickoff, like 10 minutes before kickoff, Brisbane Roar released a video of about 7 or 8 minutes, which is basically former players that he played with, say, yeah, congrats on 200 games and whatnot. Matt McKay popped in there as well. He said, "Congrats on 200 games. Don't do what I did in my 200th game and get sent off." And it just threw me straight back to that moment where he got sent off. It's like, oh yeah, that's right, that happened.
Yeah. And it was great to see. We put it out on social media. It was great to see Matt McKay turned up. Matt McKay presenting with the jersey turned up in a season one Shin jersey.
Classic.
Just a classic. It's like, classic. How does he even like have it? Like, what a great jersey to have. Like, he played one
it's
game
a brilliant
for us.
Jersey to have. He would have had that tucked away and thought, you know what, I'm pulling this beauty out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's an excellent get. That's probably the rarest of rare jerseys.
Yeah.
Rarer
Jack
than
actually...
David Dodd jersey. It was valuable, obviously, but yeah.
Because, yeah, they actually played that on the big screen, so they presented the jersey, and then Jack was actually watching that video after the game, which is a bit weird, because most of the other people that, like, gave him messages were, like, standing right behind him. So that was a bit... Anyway.
Just creeping on him as he's, like, listening to their message.
Yeah, exactly. But then it's also a bit weird, and, like, Jamie Young pops up in, like, a Western United jersey to send him messages. Like, oh, it's a bit awkward. Anyway.
Connor Chapman, you want to mention that?
Connor Chapman, we already sort of mentioned it, but yeah, Connor Chapman has signed, so a bit of linkage back with Corey Brown, so him and Corey seem to be mates from back in some young Socceroos camps days, so yeah, Connor Chapman, still around, he didn't play these two games, so but he has been at training, so he must be getting close, so
I think he's just come off the back of a K-League season, which obviously would be restarting now. But so he's probably just getting the fitness up to standard in that regards. But I think this is a really good signing. What was implied in the Raw's article on their website for the announcement was that they wanted to sign him at the start of the season, but Sol obviously wouldn't let him go. So I assume that Milinaric was the lone option to try and cover that space. That would assume that Milinaric was due to go back to Sydney because it was only meant to be a 3-month loan. He's still here. He played today, so that might have been extended.
Maybe we'll just leave him in. Well, actually, yeah, I think the transfer window's shut, so we might not have that. We might be stuck with Milinaric. But otherwise, maybe we'll just leave him in Sydney. We just played in Sydney. We'll just leave him there.
Just forget him.
It's just like you're handing out the tickets to the gate. You're like, you just handing out the tickets to get to Anton Center. Oh, mate, no, you're not coming back.
Where's my ticket?
Yeah.
I mean, you can go buy one if you want, mate. You can...
Hey, we'll buy it that way, mate. Liam
Reddy
owns a seat in the corner.
No, I'm wondering whether or not that was extended because of the fact there was those massive breaks due to COVID. They just said, you know what, keep him there. And Brisbane's like, yeah, righto, no worries. So, especially with Aldred's injury persisting, you know, it probably makes sense to... keep a player like Milinaric in there because he's been good backup for that.
So Aldred was did go and do like the running after the game with the subs that didn't play after the
that's good news.
MacArthur game. So yeah, he's getting closer at least. So yeah,
good to hear. Good to hear.
All right, let's roll on. Not much more there. I don't think we did those. Tipping Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say this is the last thing we need to touch on. So. Let's wrap it all up with a bit of tipping. Now, there was a lot of games this week, so I'm not going to tell you what everyone's score was because that will just take way too fucking long. But I will tell you where everyone stands. And listeners, you'll be happy to know you've pulled away from Yeshiva. He is on 37. You were on 40. You guys are doing great work to get away from Yeshiva. Although he did pick up the draw in the Big Blue and the Dub today. He's the only one that picked up that, also from Ben, actually. But so nice little tip there from Nate. But yeah, you guys are still clear. So keep up the good work. Keep tipping on the polls. I will be putting up a big chunk of them probably on Thursday morning when the show comes out as well. Thursday, yeah, there's pressure on your pricey. Get it up by Thursday morning. maybe not.
we'll see.
In fifth place, though, is Dan. Just shy of raising his bat. He's on 49. Gutted for him. He should be there by now. Rick on 52. Ben has just crept up with me in second place. He is on 55, as am I, with that tip with the draw, of course, the Big Blue I just mentioned. Pricey, you're on 56. So the gap is closing. The gap is very, very tight. And, surprisingly, Ben's on 55. Despite not following anything and not getting half his tips in on time, he still managed to keep pace. So maybe the goal is just don't pay attention.
Yeah, I think so. Well, he's benefited from that Adelaide by not tipping that one with the away team. So Yeah, to tell you what, tipping at the moment.
In fairness, he's... Okay, for,
got
again,
most
peek
in.
Behind
it was
the
just,
curtain
it was
for the listeners. Peek behind the... A couple of times now, Ben's responded to the tipping request after the games have been played, tipping the wrong team. So, he's... For example, I think he tipped Wellington versus Adelaide to be Adelaide, and he tipped it was ended up being a draw or something like that. So yeah, a couple of times he's tipped the wrong team, and not gotten away with it. I have not let him get away with that, by the way, Pricey. You'll be happy to know he is copping the away teams when he doesn't do it on time.
It's all good.
Let's get into some tipping though. We've got a few games to cover off, so we'll do this nice and quickly.
Jesus.
And we're going to go all the way through to... Yeah, you can see them. There's a few games. So, quickly, don't think about too much. Just get in, get it done, go home. The 18th, I think that's Friday, there will be Melbourne City versus Newcastle. I'll start with this one, but to be Melbourne City. Pricey, you've got Wellington versus Sydney. Who you got?
Wellington. Form Wellington.
MacArthur versus Adelaide. I'm tipping Adelaide because MacArthur are fucking shite right now. Melbourne victory, Central Coast
not
for you,
the victory.
Pricey. This is all A-League bends, by the way, for the listeners.
Fucking victory at the moment, victory? Seriously. Draw.
Draw. Very cool. Western United versus Western Sydney Wanderers. I have to tip Western United because they'll probably win it 1-0, which is how they do things. Pricey, Perth versus Brisbane and Tassie.
Oh, fuck.
Spiritual home of Perth glory.
Spiritual home.
Yeah, it was 20 minutes from Perth in Tasmania.
Exactly. Northern Perth, mate. It's up in the northern suburbs.
Just disappointed they're not playing it at the Perth Football Club, which is a really, really worn out AFL field with no stands. Thanks, just Google Maps, for showing me that.
I just hope the admin at least sends like the players down to take a photo, you know? Like, send at least get them to take a photo in front of Perth. Welcome to Perth, Tasmania.
Yeah.
Exactly. Draw.
Maybe they'll all get to sleep in a pod in as well. It'd be great. Imagine all the players.
Tony Sage has run out of money. Sorry, lads, you're in the pods.
and the players have to share the double beds in the pods. bit awkward. So who'd you tip for that one?
I'm going to go draw. I just don't know.
That would be a good result for Brisbane, I think. Away from home. Melbourne City versus Central Coast. Well, I'm tipping Melbourne for City for that one as well because I had them in that first one. I think they're better side. West United versus Sydney. You got a tough one. A few tough games here, mate. West United versus
These
Sydney.
These two just play? Yeah, they did. They literally played. Okay, of course they are.
Yeah, they did. They did. They got a 1-1 draw.
I think West United will turn that around at home. They'll turn that around. So West United.
There you go. Home advantage comes through again. Newcastle versus Western Sydney Wanderers. Look, I think Newcastle will do the job here. Yeah, because Wanderers are shit still. Perth versus Macquarie. Wow, that's a bank. First MacArthur. Dan and Tassie as well. What do you reckon there, Pricey?
Oh, fuck knows. Perth?
Seriously,
I don't know if I had the tricky ones. Who knows? My tipping's shit, so...
I think you did. I just went back and forth. I think you've had some tricky ones there. Yeah. I'm not going to recap those for the listeners. You can just rewind the 30 seconds that we took to do that, or maybe a minute, whatever it was. For the dub, we've still got a ton of games. You've got six games here as well. Six games for the dub. We start off tomorrow, as we record on Wednesday. This is on Thursday. Wellington versus Adelaide. I'm tipping Adelaide for that one. Yeah. Brisbane versus Canberra. Pricey, this is the big one.
Big one.
You reckon?
Canberra? I mean, they just won 5-0. They're in form.
At the moment, it's two against Brisbane. It just makes it a bit more cathartic that way, I think, too. Melbourne victory versus Perth glory. Look, I'm thinking Melbourne victory. They've just come up with a big draw against Sydney, so they'll be pumped. Or exhausted, one or the other. Newcastle versus Western Sydney Wanderers, a key battle in the bottom five.
Newcastle.
Sides. What do you reckon?
Newcastle, that one. They can actually score a goal.
I was saying they can score. They know how to put the ball in the big old net thing. Big one here, top of the table clash. Melbourne City versus Sydney FC. If I'm honest with you, I think Sydney's probably still going to do it. They'll be hurt from not getting all the points in against Victory, and they'll probably beat them. Canberra versus Melbourne Victory, Pricey.
Yeah, Melbourne Victory.
Fantastic. Again, not going to read out all those because there's a lot, and we've still got to have a sleep. So that's the tipping, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you listen. Make sure you look for the Twitter polls, which will be going out. There'll be no less than about a bazillion Twitter polls to do from. So please tip on all of them because it makes me sad when no one tips them.
Yeah, that's it. There are so many bowls that you have to put up now. And
it's so long.
There's so much
last
football.
time, I literally just thought, you know what? I'm not going to normally put a little bit of bantery things there. I just couldn't. There's too much. I couldn't do it.
It's literally like a full mid. Like, there's 12 games in far out. Football feast in February. Yeah. There definitely was. Anyway, yes, that was tipping. Well done, Dave. Thank you for running that one. Oh, we should say Dave. Dave.
Yeah.
You did win the charity bet in the dub.
Yes, get in!
Yes.
I'm so excited. I was actually really excited when we won that.
$5.63, Dave. Yeah.
To think that the keeper being called for a foul in that Sydney-Newcastle game, if that wasn't called a foul, we would have lost it.
Yeah, I know, and that was the banker. Sydney was just the banker.
That was the banker. Thank Christ. Thank Christ for the bias FA refs that that keep us afloat there. Should we have a quick update on what the charity bet sort of differences are, where we're at
with our successes
and losses?
Sure.
Yeah, people want to know, mate. Yeah. So in the Ute League, we've tried 12 times now to get a win, and we've got none. So we're negative 12. Dub, 11 times, up by $3.17. Overall, we're down by $8.83 across the two leagues. So I think, man, we get one good win in the Ute League, half a chance. Because that's where the multi comes up good.
Yeah, that's it. We get much higher odds in the Ute than we do in the Dub. So the Dub normally has some favourites that are quite short and don't really give us a lot. Anyway, all right, that will do us. For only two of us, we've talked an absolute buttload. You can catch us at facebook.com/TheRawcast or at TheRawcast on Twitter as well, and that's where Dave puts up all those polls. So please go on and get in there and vote and follow the thread down when he creates a thread. And I think you need to check back daily at the moment because there's just so many. And of course, these podcasts are loaded up to anchor.fm/TheRawcast, but spits it all out to all your good podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Podcasts, get around it. You should be able to find us. Then again, if you're listening to this, you already have found us. And we thank you, listeners, for giving us a good old listen.
Thanks for finding us.
Yeah, we do. We do appreciate you, listeners. That will do us this week, Dave. Plenty that we've talked about there, and there's going to be heaps more football coming up. So thank you very much, good sir.
Thank you, good sir.
And we'll catch you all again next week, listeners. Bye-bye.
Love you.